You may be seated.
Didn't they do a great job? Give them a hand. Well, yes, the day is here. And trust me, we are as excited about it as you are. We are glad to be in Shipshawana, finally. And Linda and I were talking this morning and said, we're glad to finally have you here. And I said, I know we've said that too. And when you really stop and think about this process, very quickly, here to some of the processes we do in the ministry. We're here and we're doing it there too, after my birthday. And it's not like you must be right here. So once this thing started rolling out, it's pretty miraculous, and it already fits in with that on the topic today. I don't know what you call it, what I'm going to say. I'm going to share a little testimony in scripture and outline what I'm talking about. The calling. The calling. We've heard it said in prayers this morning. Pastor and Pastor Francis and his family have answered the call to be here, and that's exactly what has happened.
Why am I here today? Why is our family unpacking boxes? In the first person, here's just one idea, why are we doing what brings us to the point where I stand before you today?
As the brand newster of this church, it's the calling. The calling. It all started on a cold January day in 1990. I woke up that Sunday morning, got out of bed, I got dressed, I did all the things I would normally do in order to get ready to go to Sunday school and church. Had no idea how different that day would be and how much of an impact it would have on my life and how everything would change. I went to our little church in Moberly, Missouri that morning. I went to Sunday school, I sang in the choir, I did all the things I would normally do on Sunday morning. I sat right over here, our youth group all sat on this side of the church. About halfway back, I was sitting there. I can't tell you what the pastor preached about that morning, all I can tell you is this. At the end of that service, I was kneeling at an altar over on this side. And I prayed for what seemed like forever. You see, I grew up going to church. I was there the Sunday morning that my older brother, Robert, was called to ministry and testified to his call. And it was that Sunday morning that my grandfather came to me before I even got out the door, and he said, in his loving and affectionate way, "You're next, boy." I said, "Granddad, I love you, but I think you've got me confused with someone else." But that morning, I knelt over here on this side at the altar, and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And Pastor Lloyd Perrett finally tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, "Francis, what are you praying about?" I said, "Brother Perrett, how do you know if you're called to preach?" And he said, "Well, it'll just keep coming back to you. You can't ever get away from it. No matter what you try to do, it'll keep coming back up in your mind, and it'll always be there." I said, "That's where I am. That's where I am." You see, I've had the opportunity to do a lot of different things in my life. Even after answering the call to ministry and studying for ministry, at the time, I was working with my dad in his own construction business. I think I mentioned maybe when I was here before, I learned to operate bulldozers and tractors and bucket loaders and heavy equipment before I was old enough to drive a car. My dad owned his own business, and my dad's dream was one day for one of his sons, or maybe more, even more than that, my brother and I, to take over the family business. But the calling changed all that. I've driven trucks, I've driven school buses, I've worked as a custodian and a groundskeeper at a school district. I've cleaned everything you can possibly think of to clean. I was a heavy equipment operator in the military for 14 years. I was in the Missouri National Guard. I've done all that stuff. But in the midst of all those things, I could never find satisfaction or contentment until the day I answered the call to ministry. See, the statue that I dug out of one of the boxes yesterday, one of the many boxes. If you were to pick this up and look at the bottom of it, you would see that this very statue is entitled The Calling. You see, this is a statue that they gave us on the Missouri District when we were ordained back in 2003. And it shook Peter by his fishing boat, mending his nets. And Jesus standing beside him with his hand resting on his shoulder. And it represents that day that Jesus came to Peter and said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And when I look at that statue, I remember that day in my life when God said, "Preach the gospel and let me use you for my glory." So for some scripture reference on all of this, I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. It won't take you very many times of hearing me preach to realize you will find out very quickly that one of my all-time favorite heroes in the Bible is the Apostle Paul. I go back to his writings again and again and again for encouragement, for challenge, for conviction. But there are a few verses found in Galatians chapter 1 that kind of outline and help me with what I want to say to you today. Beginning in verse 11, Paul says this, "I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God, and I tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God..." I want you to think about those three words. "But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. And then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing to you is no lie. Later I went to Syria and Cilicia, and I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, 'The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy.' And they praised God because of me." Father, this is your word. I just ask you to use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You've heard of my previous way of life in Judaism. You see, Paul had everything going for him. He had the world by the tail. He sat at the feet of all the best teachers. He went to all the best religious universities and seminaries. He had the greatest religious professors of the time. He was doing everything right. He was following all the rules. He was staying within the guidelines and the boundaries of everything he had been taught all of his life, and he was being recognized and promoted because of it. He had everything in the world going for him. Success was right there to be grasped. But when God. That's an incredible three words. It's a very powerful three words to me, because what it tells me is that no matter what you have going on in your life, no matter what opportunities I had going on in my life, no matter how many different colleges and universities I had scholarship offers to go play my trumpet and be involved in music, none of that mattered when God got a hold of my life and changed me completely. You can be facing anything in the world. You can be asking those questions. You can be facing those decisions. But when God speaks into your ear, and when God speaks into your heart, and when God speaks into your life, it changes everything. All these different people telling me what I should do. And then I had my granddad come to me and said, "You're next, boy." You know what? He was right. Because before God was even leading me in that direction, God was showing other people the gifts and the talents that he had placed in my life in order to be involved in ministry. So here's the first thing I want us to understand about the calling. The calling comes from God. The calling comes from God. The reason I am here before you today is not because of what my grandfather said. It's not because of what anyone else in the church said. Not even necessarily because of my own choice other than answering the call. The reason I stand before you today is because God called me to do this, to be who I am. When God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Calling's from God. It's not from any man. Man didn't give it to me. Man can't take it away from me. I didn't give it to myself, and you know what? I can't just lay it down or give it up whenever I want. Trust me, there have been times I thought, several times. But in all honesty, I joke about that, but let me tell you, not that terribly long ago, some things that I've not even shared with anybody else really in my life because I didn't want them to know exactly how discouraged I was. But at a place not too long ago, I sat at my computer and I started Google searching jobs in the truck driving industry going back into the oil field. You see, when we lived and pastored in Minot, North Dakota, the oil boom took off. I'd had a Class A commercial driver's license for almost 25 years before I moved to the state of Illinois. That's a whole other story. I could have gone. I could have filled out an application and gone back to North Dakota or to Texas and worked in the oil fields, making a lot of money driving a truck. You know why? Because I was tired. I was tired of putting up with the stuff that we had to put up with in the church all the time. But God wouldn't let me. Because no matter how seriously I considered some of those other job options, there was something that still lingered here, and it was the call. In my ordination service on August 3rd in Webster Groves, Missouri, we knelt at the altar when the general superintendent placed his hands on us and ordained us, and we got to choose who said our ordination prayer. And the man that I chose to say my ordination prayer was a man that if Francis ever begins to stray from the calling that you have placed on his life, that you will bring him back into the right place. Don't ever let him stray from the calling that you've placed on his life. Because you see, that calling is from God. I can't change that. Even if I wanted to, I can't. And neither can anyone else. He says, but when God, who set me apart from birth and called me. But then it goes on to say something else about the calling. The calling is from God, but the calling is by grace. So when he called me by his grace, what gives me to stand before you this morning and preach the word? What gives me that right? No special talent. It's certainly not any royal pedigree or ancestry. I mean, my family's pretty well known in the parts where I grew up, but not necessarily for the right reasons. I grew up in the suburbs of Excello, Missouri. Figure that one. You look that one up. not due to any kind of superiority. You see, I'm no superhero. I'm just a common man who's before you today because of one reason and one reason only, and that's the grace of God. It's the grace of God who saw fit to reach down into my life and save me out of a home that was wrecked by alcoholism and all kinds of different things going on. If you looked at my background and my upbringing, you would not choose me. You would not have looked at me back then and thought that I would be pastoring this church today. Some of the people that I went to high school with are probably still in shock because I'm a pastor of a church. I'm just a common person who stands before you today because of God's grace. Nothing more, nothing less. But I'm thankful for it. Because without the grace of God, I don't know, if I wasn't here today, I don't know where I would be. Except for the grace of God, I have no idea what I would be doing right now or where I would be. But the calling is by grace. The third thing I want you to understand today is my calling is to the gospel. In verses 11 and 12, it says, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preach is not something that man made up. I didn't receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. I'm called to preach the gospel. That's it. I'm not called to preach what's comfortable, even though a lot of times that would be much easier. Especially in today's society. There, you know what? You could draw a big crowd. You could draw a huge crowd by just preaching what is comfortable. We could draw a huge crowd. We could have this church filled to capacity and overflowing if I would just preach what's convenient or preach what's comfortable. But I'm not called to do that. I'm called to preach the gospel. And here's what I can tell you. Here's what I can promise you. As your new pastor of your church, what you will hear me preach every Sunday is the Word of God. What you will hear me preach every Sunday is the truth that is contained in this book. I don't preach personal opinion. I don't preach popular jargon. I don't preach a lot of that other stuff. If I have something that is my opinion, what you will find me doing is I will step away from that stand or that pulpit and I will say, now this is my opinion. I will be very quick and plain in differentiating to you what I believe is my opinion and what is the truth of the gospel. Because this is what I'm called to do. Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. And I've always taken that very seriously. You see, I was called to preach the word that says we have all sinned and that we're all in need of a Savior. That's what the book of Romans tells us, that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's what the Word of God tells us. That's part of the gospel. We have to understand that there's something that we need to be saved from. I'm called to preach the word that says Jesus came to this world and died to be that Savior who can deliver us from sin. I'm called to preach the word that says there's forgiveness and cleansing for sin through the blood of that Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm called to preach the word that says I can live in victory over sin through the indwelling Spirit of that Savior, the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. I'm called to preach the word that says I can live for all eternity with that Savior or without Him. That choice is up to me, depending on how I respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ that I find in His Word. You see, I still believe that each and every one of us are going to face an eternity somewhere when this life is over. And where we spend that eternity has everything to do with how we respond to Jesus. It has everything to do with whether I accept his gift of salvation or whether I refuse it. I stand before you today simply because of the calling that is from God, the calling that is by the grace of God, and the fact that he's called me to preach the gospel. And that's what I can promise you. I will do my very best to do every time we gather together in this place is to be faithful to the calling that God has placed upon my life. I don't know what else to tell you. I'm thankful. I am so thankful for the welcome that we have received here. I am so thankful for the many things. You'll see in your bulletin a thank you note that Blenda kind of typed up, and we read it together, and we are so thankful for the opportunity to be here, for all the things that you have done to get the parsonage ready and to get the church ready and to drive all the way to Champaign, Illinois and help us drive back. Brother Steve and I got out of those moving trucks the other day, and we both kind of looked at each other and felt like we'd been in a bull riding contest in a rodeo. I told Blenda the other day, I said, I think I might have internal injuries from that thing. For all of you, that great group of teenagers, and I know a lot of them aren't here today, but we're going to spend some time with them. We're going to spend time getting to know them. That great group of people who showed up Wednesday to come and unload all those trucks. Thank you. But you know what makes it all possible? You know why it all came to be? Is because God called us. And this is where he called us to serve. And we want to serve you with all faithfulness as we serve God in the same way. I was over here last night. The rest of my family was asleep by the time I got home. But I came over here just to do some prayer time, some preparation time for today. I knelt before this altar right here, and I just prayed that God's Holy Spirit would come and fill this place. And we sang that song this morning. So let me share just a little bit of my heart with you. Here's what I believe. Here's what I believe God wants the church to do. And next week, I'm going to start a series. Next week, I'll start a sermon series on becoming the church God desires for us to be and what that means. I prayed for all of you. People I don't even know. I prayed for everyone who was going to come in the door this morning that we would sense and experience the presence of God's Holy Spirit. I walked around out by the nursery and I prayed. I guess you got to be careful how you pray this, but I prayed that God would fill that nursery up. I walked downstairs through the hallway by the children's church room and I prayed that God would fill our children's church department up. I walked through the teen room and I prayed that God would send us so many teenagers that we couldn't hold it all. God didn't bring us here to maintain just a status quo. God brought us here to build a church and a kingdom. And my pledge is that I will work with you. You don't work for me. I don't work for you. We work with one another for God's kingdom and for his glory. He's the boss. We're the ones he's blessed with the opportunity and the task of reaching this community with the message of Christ. And that's what we want to do. That's our goal. That's our calling. And to close this all out this morning, I just want to share a song with you that goes along with this sermon. And I want us not to stop praying now that we're here. But that should just be the beginning of our prayer. I'd love to see us start some prayer groups, maybe a Saturday night or an early Sunday morning prayer group. Whatever we have to do to ensure that we as a church are in line with God's purpose and God's will for who He wants us to be. So let's work together. Let's work together to all fulfill the calling that God has placed on our lives. I want to issue you a challenge this morning before I sing this song, and then we're going to close in prayer and be done. But I want to issue you a challenge this morning. Next Sunday morning, Dr. Roland's going to be here to do our official installation service. We're having a potluck lunch. I'd like for everyone that's here today to try to bring someone with you. Just try to bring somebody with you to come and share in that day and see the excitement and the energy that is here in this place, and it's going to continue to grow so that we can show people we're excited about the opportunity of loving them the way Jesus does. I want to share this song with you, and we're going to pray.
My name may never be in lights on a marquee. The world may not applaud when I sing. But if I can be a light to a friend in the night, that's all I desire to be. So remind me, Lord, you called me. Though sometimes I may be weak, if one soul is saved, it's worth it all. When I see those teardrops falling, then remind me of my calling, and may I never run from the call. When I was just a child, I knew all the while you wanted me to sing, Lord, just for you. I could count the miles. Sometimes I get so tired, but after all you've done, it's the least that I can do. So remind me, Lord, you called me. Though sometimes I may be weak, if one soul is saved, it's worth it all. When I see those teardrops falling, then remind me of my calling, and may I never run from the call. The world out there is dying, it's full of lonely people crying, and you've chosen me to tell them about you, about you. So remind me, Lord, you called me. Though sometimes I may be weary, if one soul is saved, it's worth it all. When I see those teardrops falling, then remind me of my calling, and may I never run from the call. Lord, I don't want to run from your
Heavenly Father, today we just ask you to help each and every one of us to be willing to follow and fulfill whatever call you place upon our lives. Help us to do it with all joy, and help us to share the love of Jesus with those around us. Thank you for this church, for the opportunity that we have, and for the work that you are going to do through each and every one of us. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and we'll give you all the praise. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.